Good morning. So would you please stand as you're able and join me for the call to worship, and then remain standing for the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, we ask for your presence to enter this space. We know that in self-giving love, your very nature teaches us how to love one another. Father and Creator, Son and Redeemer, Spirit and Advocate, we call upon you to teach us this hour. Teach us to pray. Teach us to love. Teach us to be one as you are one. Amen. Please join me in the confession of who we are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Trusting in God's grace, let us stand as we are able and confess our sin. God of grace, love, and communion, we confess we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We ignore your commandments, stray from your way, and follow other gods. Have mercy on us, forgive our sin, and raise us to new life, that we may serve you faithfully and give honor to your holy name.
My friends, God did not send the Son to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rejoice in being able to say, we are forgiven. Amen. With this joy in our hearts and believing these words of forgiveness, I now say to you, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also
with you.
Please share that peace with a bow or a wave.
Beautiful voice, gracious skies.
Wow.
I told you I got the bass.
You did, but together. Sometimes there are no words that transition from such an anthem to a reading that is not connected. And yet, in God's sight, all are beautiful. So, would you pray with me that we might be illumined today? O good and gracious God, one in three, three in one. Oh Lord, how confusing that concept can be. So we ask that you open our hearts, clear our ears that we might hear the Spirit's voice, teaching us, leading us, so that we might come to know Jesus more fully and worship you more wholly. We pray this in the name of Christ, our Lord, the human one. Amen. So today's reading, comes to us from John's Gospel. I like John. He's a little weird, but I like him. Comes to us from chapter 3, which contains probably the best known single verse in the entire New Testament. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to go from verse 1 through verse 21. So listen now with ears attuned to God's voice. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So yes, today is Trinity Sunday, the one day during the year that we're encouraged to focus on a single topic of Christian belief. Most people cannot get their heads around the Trinity, and people who are not Christian are really confused by this concept. It's hard enough thinking about an invisible God as being real. Many dazed looks come across faces when people hear how Jesus is both God's Son and God at the same time. And the notion that God can be three persons in one being, oh, seriously, to some that's seriously and completely outrageous. But friends, these are huge questions. And as a minister of the Word and Sacrament, a teaching elder, another name for that, I'm supposed to teach you about these ideas in, 15 minutes each year. This, my friends, is a subject that I actually studied for a whole semester in seminary, and I'm still a bit fuzzy on it. The doctrine of the Trinity, the teachings of the three persons of one God, is one of those ideas that you really need to not use that part of your brain that likes to follow in order one thing after another. For the Trinity is more about belief than it is about knowledge. Before ordination, PCUSA pastors are asked to express the fullness of their faith in writing in 500 words. Kind of sound familiar to you two young men who just went through confirmation, right? Yeah. Only ours is a little more challenging. We have to be in depth when we discuss God and Jesus and the church and sacraments and sin and, yes, the Trinity in that statement. And since faith tends to evolve, most of us rewrite these statements every few years. It's actually a good spiritual discipline you might want to try. Now, the words in our statements can be pretty high-minded, especially when it comes to the Trinity. So today, I'm going to try and keep it simple and leave it at three points. Actually, four. Got an egg. See it? I could crack this egg. It's hard-boiled. It wouldn't drip. And inside you'd see the yolk and the white, right? It's one egg, but with three parts. Kind of like God, right? Christians believe the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. And while they are three parts, they are equal in relationship. Okay? They link together. And they've linked their arms, for lack of a better word, in a joyous circle dance and are whirling around so fast that you can barely tell one apart from the other. Okay? Three parts becoming actually invisible almost. The best part, though, is they're inviting us to join in their dance. So rather than dancing like angels on pinheads, perhaps we should set aside points 1 and 2 and dig deep into the idea that they are inviting us to share in their dance. And the story of Nicodemus can tell us a great bit about joining that dance. So this story in chapter 3 is the first of 3 stories about this Pharisee. There are 2 more stories in which he appears. One is at the end of chapter 7, when Jesus is facing a crowd and the Pharisees are becoming pretty darned annoyed with him. And the other? The other is at the end of the gospel. So today, we see this man creeping about in the dark of night. There's no streetlights. But he's actually going outside where danger lurks. Back then, no one did that unless they had a very, very good reason to do so. Like, a baby is on the way and you need to go get that midwife. Otherwise, it was too risky. You can imagine Nick, as I sometimes call him, hiding in the shadows for safety, so the bad guys wouldn't see him. Oh yeah, he's also hiding from his colleagues, the other Pharisees. What would they think of him going to ask questions of an uneducated Galilean? It's actually quite remarkable that Jesus opens the door to him. Nicodemus is smooth. He calls Jesus Rabbi, a rabbi from God. Which is pretty darned high praise. But Jesus responds to this man with curious words, doesn't he? I suspect that made old Nick wonder if he'd fallen down Alice's rabbit hole. I mean, born anew? Not again, as we often say today, but anew. Either word is still confusing. Then Jesus talks about how God's Spirit blows where it will, as will those who are born of that Spirit. And then next, he reminds Nick that the invisible God has a spirit that's like the wind, and some people also have that spirit. I don't get it. We all feel Nicodemus's confusion. How is all of this possible? Now, while Jesus could be chiding Nick for his lack of Pharisaic knowledge, it feels like Jesus's tone is more like a teacher in September when she's reviewing last year's material and the students are acting goofy. Yeah, remember that? Then she remembers that everyone has been on summer break. So she resigns herself to going back to the beginning of that lesson to reteach it. And that's what Jesus does. He teaches the good news of God giving his son for the world. So the world would not be blown out of the universe and instead be salvaged, along with all of those who believe. Can't you just see the gears turning in Nicodemus's mind? The Holy Spirit must be working with him, pulsating with his own spirit to help him figure all this out. After all, Nick wanted to know and understand, right? I mean, he wouldn't have gone to see Jesus in the dark of night otherwise, would he? So the Trinity. If we accept that Jesus is the human face of the invisible God, then could the Holy Spirit be the heartbeat of God? Couldn't the pulsation of God's heart move Nick, actually inspire him to seek and understand God more fully? Couldn't the Holy Spirit have blown him in to see Jesus? Couldn't that Spirit be encouraging him to come into a closer relationship with God through the person of Jesus? Theology means the study of God, right, Jim Schumacher? And I don't know, maybe you knew him. Did you know Reverend Dr. Daniel Migliori from Princeton? Did you ever meet him, Migliori? Never mind, he doesn't know him. Oh, okay, authority, okay. Favorite textbook in all of seminary was something called Faith Seeking Understanding, which Reverend Dr. Migliori wrote. That's what the study of God is. It's faith seeking understanding. So held in the dark of night, that's what this conversation was for Nicodemus. Faith seeking understanding. He was seeking the light. This man's parents believed in the one true God. So like most little kids, he accepted his parents' faith as the way life just was. But Nicodemus is no longer a child. And he's got some questions. Kind of like all of us, right? We all have questions about God. We can all be confused about the Holy One because that being seems so unknowable. We can also have moments of belief and moments of doubt. Faith journeys are not mountaintop experiences that last throughout your life. Not usually, anyway. Growth of all kinds comes in fits and starts. Just think about how a child can be that you haven't seen in a while, and you remember them like, you know, they're small, and all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, they're like giant. And when it comes to our understanding of faith, growth often comes as an outpouring, unfortunately, of deep spiritual confusion. And Nicodemus was confused. But he wanted very much for his understanding of God to grow. And now with Jesus as his guide, he's working to understand these big ideas. I really don't believe that he left that conversation thinking, oh, this is too hard, I'm done. After all, John tells us he resurfaces in chapter 7 of the gospel, where it's a sunny afternoon in Jerusalem, and Jesus is teaching. And the Pharisees become highly annoyed with that preacher, and they become annoyed with their peer, Nicodemus. Just check out verses 50 to 52 in chapter 7. There, in that scene, we witness Nicodemus beginning to cross the threshold of faith in Jesus. He doesn't say much, just asks a question. After all, it's scary to stand up to your peers. but he's actually starting to stand for the rabbi. In broad daylight, no more skulking in the dark. He's coming towards the light of faith. God's Spirit is beginning to pulsate through his veins, strengthening his spirit and encouraging him in his belief. After that, we don't hear or see from Nicodemus until chapter 9, verse 39. And there we learn our friend has gone with Joseph of Arimathea to help bury the Lord before darkness falls. Nick even brought along the spices with which to anoint the body. His relationship with Jesus had truly deepened and evolved. In the darkness of night, the Holy Spirit had given him new birth. And from then on, God never gave up on him. God continued to mold and shape his life, and the life pulse of God's heart infused the Spirit within Nicodemus. It nudged his heart and mind into deeper understanding of God's truth. As his life became more entwined with Jesus, which is what it had to be if he was bold enough to help bury the man, Nick began to act on his faith, you see. He was walking Jesus's talk. And in gratitude for what God had done to come to earth in the person of Jesus, Nicodemus came out of spiritual darkness and into the full light of God. And when that occurred, his eternal life began. It didn't begin with his death. It began right then with his faith. His faith in the man who was also God had saved him. And even after his faith shone forth, his actions spoke of that faith. Truly, in following Jesus' way, Nicodemus had chosen a dangerous life path. But he didn't walk it alone. He was infused with God's Spirit, as were the other disciples. And for him, the Trinity, Creator God, Redeeming Son, and Sustaining Spirit, was ever present. Now, we live in a land where, because many have perished, fighting for our ability to live without fear that our government will tell us what to believe or whom to believe in, we don't have to fear the reprisal that Nicodemus feared. The Pharisees were not happy with Jesus. What did they? Yeah, they killed the guy. But we don't fear reprisals like that. We don't fear the reprisals that Chinese Christians or Somali Christians or North Korea Christians or Uzbekistani Christians have to face. Good men and good women have fallen in battle for that value. It's appropriate, therefore, that we honor them. It's a good thing. But as followers of Christ our King, like Nicodemus, John tells us God asks us to act in faith, to bring forth the light of Jesus' truth to the world. And through faith, God is also inviting us to join that joyous, whirling dance of the Holy Trinity, where the heartbeat of God pulsates in our veins through the power of the Holy Spirit. For, and I quote, "Whoever does the truth comes to the light so it can be seen that their actions were done in God. Like Nicodemus, God hopes we'll respond to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit in gratitude by offering service to the world as did Jesus, the human face of God. My friends, I pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that this value of serving God gratefully for the gift of God's salvation through Christ will live in your hearts. For then you will truly have joined in the dance of the Holy Trinity. Amen.
Please join me now in the affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from light, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to the life in the world to come. Amen.
Please stand and turn to page 485.
Thank you.
saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Hymn number 371. My brothers and sisters, our God is triune. Father, Son, Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. You name it. God is way more than a yolk, a white, and a shell. And yet together they form one thing, an egg. And in our traditions at Easter, we think of eggs as representing new life. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we are given that new life. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit pulses through our veins,
encourages us, enlivens us, moves us to service in God's name, to show our love for one another and for all we meet. We have been invited into the joyous whirlwind dance of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I invite you to join it by serving God this day and always, and go knowing that the love of God, the grace that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community of the Holy Spirit that draws them together goes with each of you now and always. Amen.
Thank you.